It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back to Willard and Dibs.
Absolute pleasure. Willard and Dibs, y'all take it easy. Have a good one. Enjoy the game tonight.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Willard and Dibs continues. No Mark Willard today or this week. It's FP Santangelo, Dan Dibley, Mark Randy with you. Here on 95.7 The Game, we are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And now we go out to our River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And FP, we got a good friend of yours on the line, huh?
Yeah, Northern Illinois University's finest, former GM of the Dodgers, former assistant GM of your San Francisco Giants, and more importantly than all those, a friend of mine, Ned Colletti, joins us right now to talk a little trade deadline. Ned, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for the introduction. Haven't been introduced as an NIU guy in quite a while.
Yeah, Northern Illinois University. Now you're a professor at Pepperdine, so like I don't even know who you are anymore. Sports administration professor. You're so smart. You're smarter than all. Hey, well, how do you feel about this time of year? Do you miss it? Does your blood start to pump a little bit? Do you miss the trade deadline, or did you not like it at all when you were a general manager?
Oh, gosh, it was the best time. It was the absolute best. Most of the teams that I worked with the last 25 years were competing, had a chance to win. And so this is where you have a chance to make a difference. And this is where, as you know, FP, as a player, when somebody walks in that room on August 1st after a 31st deadline or whatever the deadline is, it makes a big difference. So having a chance to show your team that you've been paying attention to their hard work and when what they've put forth for two-thirds of the season, this was the best. Best 2 or 3 days of the season besides the postseason.
Is it tougher now than ever for GMs? Because with the third wild card in each league, it feels like more teams are still in it than ever before.
No doubt. It has changed the dynamic to it. You know, there's always going to be a give and take when you change who enters the postseason. I think it's great for the game that there's more teams involved and more fans think their team has got a chance. And for some cities that haven't been to the postseason for a long time, you know, it's a big deal. But it does limit the market, and it does make those who do have quality players that they can move. It puts them in a really, really good spot, a better spot than when you had fewer teams making the postseason. So while you have fewer choices sometimes, those teams that do have the flexibility to make a move, They can make a haul, especially if they've got some talent.
With that in mind, Ned, you have a team like the Giants in the current situation. They're 3.5 back of a wild card spot, but they just won 4 games in a row. How do you determine when there are so many teams that qualify for the playoffs and so many teams that are still alive like the Giants, how do you determine if the team is good enough or worthy of a big move to go out there and help the team? Because I would imagine, you know, back in the days when they were only a handful of teams that would make the playoffs from every league, a team that's 2 games under 500 like the Giants, you might consider them easy sellers. Now it's hard to see them selling because they're only 3.5 games out. So how do you determine if a team deserves the GM and the front office to go out there and take a big swing?
Well, I think the most important thing for a club at this stage is to be honest with where you're at. You can't wish for something. You can't hope. you've watched your team play close to probably 110 games at this point in time for every team. You know how good they are. You know if they've underachieved. I'm not talking about the job. I'm just talking in general. You know if they've underachieved. You know if they've been banged up all year, and now they're starting to get healthy. You know where your team is at, and you got to be honest with it. If you don't think your team can make it, you can't really do much adding. You know, if you're the Cubs, what the Cubs have done the last couple of days, pretty interesting. They're kind of playing it midway this year, but they're really looking more towards 25 and beyond, which is, I think, where they're at, and they're farther back than San Francisco. They're, I think, a game and a half behind San Fran. It's a wise way to do it. I think the Giants are in a tough spot, but they know who they are. And so as long as they're honest with who they believe they are from an ownership front office standpoint, you know, they'll make the right decision, whatever that is. You know, they are 3.5 back, but they're also behind Pittsburgh. They're behind St. Louis. They're behind Arizona, who are also trying to get in. Those teams aren't even in yet. So while you're 3.5 back, that you're, I think, a game and a half back of Pittsburgh, to me, you're 3.5 back, but then you're a game and a half back, too. So you're 5 back. I think the Cardinals are 2.5 behind the Cardinals. So you're like 7.5 back. And then you're 3 behind Arizona. So now you're getting like 10 back. Now, you can pick up, that it's a weird way of looking at how far behind you are, but those are the teams you're going to have to catch to do it. Now, on a given day, you can pick up 2 or 3 games in that way of mathematically looking at it. But the most important thing, you got to be realistic with how good your team is. Giants had some pitching coming back. They've been waiting all year for some guys to come back. You know, they may feel that they've got a chance. You also know the health of your club better than any other club knows the health of your club, better than the media knows the health of your club. You know what good guys are at. You know if pitchers are starting to get a little bit finicky, may start to lose some stuff, may pull back a little bit, or are just starting to getting in their groove. So you got to know all those things to make these types of decisions, because you can't do it in a vacuum, but you got to know really how good your team is. And is it worth it? Is it worth it to add? If you may get in, you may get in, but you may only be in for a few games. So you got to measure that too. So a lot of different things you got to be thinking about.
He was a GM of the Dodgers from 2006 to 2014, assistant GM under Brian Sabian for our San Francisco Giants. Ned Coletti, nice enough to join us today. You just answered my first question. I got two for you. What does making it mean? You said if you're going to make it, does it make it to the playoffs? Can you beat the Phillies? Like, what if you're a National League GM right now on the outside looking in, what is your opinion of making it?
Well, making the playoffs, can you get in? Do you have a legitimate chance to get in if you make a move? Or do you kind of stand pat and just hope your team plays better? Making it, for me, is getting in the playoffs. But as I said, getting in is one thing. Being realistic to your chances to compete with the teams that are at the top of it, that's a different story. If you go back, and this goes back a long time now, the big trade that Sayles made with the White Sox in 97. First year as a GM, picked up Roberto Hernandez and Wilson Alvarez and Danny Darwin. The White Sox were 3 games out when they did it. And Ron Shula, the GM of the Sox, you know, was criticized for doing it. But he said, look, I don't think we may get in. We may end up catching Cleveland and getting in. But I don't know that we have enough to compete any further than just getting in. And so I've got a chance to pick up 5 prospects. Bobby Harvey was in that deal, pitching in the big leagues for a long time. Keith Foulk helped win a World Series in Boston. You know, and so they did what they did. So, but you got to be realistic. Can you get in? And if you do get in, can you make a run? And if you haven't been in for a while, yeah, then it's vital that you get in and you establish that and you tell your fans that, you know, hey, we got in. You know, but If you've been in a lot and you really need to refurbish your farm system and add a player or two that's going to help you really get in the next year or the year after, you know, you got to measure that consequence too. And you know, the Giants are sitting in a very interesting spot. They are behind three other teams just to get in besides the teams that are already sitting in that spot. But they've also got Snell, who if they decide to make him available in the next day, that's the best starting pitcher out there. How much can you get for him? Now, when I say that, I also know that just because you would make him available doesn't mean that he's going to do it, and it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to get enough from him from another team to make it worth your while of sacrificing where you're at. You know, again, there's so many different things that go through GM's minds this time of year. It gets complicated, and that's why it's exciting. You know, you got a chance to make yourself better, but you've also got a risk that comes with the territory.
Ned, I've always wondered this as a player, and I've never been privy to this. Like, take us behind the scenes. Like, how does this all go down? And maybe you can give us an example of something where you talk to another GM and you guys are, do we pull the trigger? Does it come from ownership? Like, tell me how this, like, for all of us listening that have never been in a war room for a trade deadline, tell us how this whole thing goes down and how it works behind the scenes.
Well, it builds for a while. You get to, you're always checking in with other teams throughout the spring, throughout the first 2-3 months of the season. You get to the All-Star break, and now things start to become more in focus. And so now your calls become a little bit more regular. But you know who's got who and who's thinking about moving a player, who will definitely move a player. You kind of know. And then you'll have a little bit of a rush like we've seen. And then typically when you get to this point, it gets quiet for a little while. Because the teams that are going to trade somebody, they don't have anything to lose right now. They're going to play it out until you get to 90 minutes before the deadline, 60 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 10 minutes. You can bluff all the way to the end, you know, as long as you don't lose the opportunity that you're trying to bluff your way to get a little bit more from a club. Ownership is always involved. They always know what you're thinking. They always know what it's going to cost payroll-wise, what it's going to cost prospect-wise. You know, you're in touch with them constantly. We would always have, you got your inner circle. You've got a lot of people that work, but you're not going to bring in 100 people into a meeting for the trade deadline. You're going to be in contact with everybody, all your scouts, all your player development people. You need to know your system inside and out. You need to know who the real players are, who can help your team in the market you're in. Not everybody can be a Yankee. Not everybody can be a Red Sox. Not everybody can be a Philly. Not everybody can be a Dodger because of the expectation that sits with those franchises. So you may have a player with a pretty good ceiling, but they're just not made for that bright a spotlight. Those are guys that, hey, you may have a great market for that player as a prospect, or some service or some publication may rank somebody really high. You know, in your heart of hearts, that's not the player. That's not how this player is going to be. He's not going to graduate to the level that a publication that has really no skin in the game is putting out there. But there may be somebody that reads that or has an appeal for that player. So you use the increased value on the outside to make the move, and you do that. But you got your inner circle, you got your people that you know inside out, you've scouted your scouts, you know your inner circle, you know how they think, you have hour upon hour of conversation in the week before this to really kind of fine-tune what are we doing, what are we looking for, who's available, who's really available, who is likely to be talked about but never become available, and where your seriousness lies. And I had, you know, five really good veteran guys that had great careers, not Hall of Fame careers, but were solid teammates. Billy Miller, Aaron Seeley, Mark Sweeney, Jose Vizcaino, Juan Castro, Josh Bard. And their job was to go through our system. They were just out of the game. They needed to spend more time at home. They've been on the road for a long time. Needed more family time. But their job was to go out and see your four minor league teams, your AAA, AA, and the two high A, the high A and the low A. and know everybody on it. Not who can play, but really, what is the character of the people? Who is a winning type of player? May not be the leading hitter, may not be the guy with the best stuff off the mound, but this guy competes. This guy can do it. Because those are the type, the names I just listed to you guys, you know, some of them were giants. Some of them you know inside out. FP, some of them you probably played against. You know how they competed. And so I would trust them implicitly with who they thought could be a Dodger. Or in the, you know, in the giant days, Sage would do who they thought could be a great giant. And those are the people you push to the side and you don't let them out. You don't let those players go. But some of those guys that got high rankings on the outside, you know, when you know from the people you trust implicitly, they may make it to the big leagues, but they're not going to help a team win a World Series. That's all Sage and I ever did was try to get to the World Series and try and win it. You know, and some teams being less than that is okay. It wasn't okay for us. So that's another thing that you do. And those are, that group is always in your office on these type of days and the days leading up to it. And I'd ask my pitching guys about hitters. I ask my hitting guys about pitchers. Sometimes you ask the hitters about the hitters or the pitchers about the pitchers. But I wanted to know Aaron Seeley, what he thought of hitters we were chasing, what he thought, how he would approach them, and how he knew about our prospects, how if he thought that they could adjust to the part of their approach or whatever that was lacking, and vice versa. Billy Miller about pitching, Mark Sweeney about pitching, you know, all these guys. So anyway, I'm getting long-winded here.
No, these are great names too, Ned. I mean, it's awesome. You're flashing me back. Yeah, it's so great. Ned Coletti here on 95.7 The Game, former GM. So I just want to ask you this, Ned, and if you get to this spot, and we are now 23 hours and 40 minutes away from the deadline, if you're in Farhan Zaidi's spot, do you know which way you're going to go? Does your opinion of what you're going to do at the deadline change based on wins and losses, or do you already have a plan charted by the time you get to this date?
I think everybody kind of knows what they're going to do. Now, Does that change if you get a call you can't say no to? Absolutely. Because there's teams that have made moves. There's been a lot of moves already. But there's teams that are bluffing. There's teams that are holding out for one more player, or the team that is chasing the ring. They, you know, they're trying to give up one less guy. All the bluff comes off with an hour ago. 90 minutes, as I said, 90 minutes, 60 minutes, all that bluffing goes away. And you'll find out everybody shows their cards and everybody just tells you, okay, I'll do this, I won't do that. This is how I'll do it, you know, A or B. And you know, that still hasn't unfolded quite yet. You know, been a lot of movement. But you know, a lot of the movement has been maybe teams trying to save payroll because guys make so much on a daily basis. You save a day, you save 2 days, you save 3 days. You know, you might be paying for three scouts' salary. Who knows? But other than that, when you got big names and things like that, there's at this stage, there's no reason to wait except to get a better offer back. And so you play that game. You play that cat and mouse. A lot of things can happen that haven't necessarily started yet until tomorrow morning.
Would you trade Blake Snell for the right haul?
If it was a phone call I couldn't hang up from, yeah.
What would that phone call look like? Like three of the best prospects, your scouts have scouted them. They know they're winning players. They're good people. They're gamers.
It would take some that got your attention and that you've done all your due diligence on as best you can. And you know that these players are going to help your team. One may help your team this year and another one may help your team next year. And the third one may help your team 2 years from now. But you know they're definitively going to improve your club. Then you don't hang up and you do it. But again, it's easier to say that than to do that because you've got to have the other team that's got the interest in the player. And I think Blake may have a no movement clause, I'm not sure. But you know, the other team's got to have the interest player plus the capital of prospects to do that. And so, you know, you're very limited as to where you would go with that idea. And it's probably a situation that I'm just guessing here. I don't have any insight into it. That maybe Farhan's not making calls on Snell. Maybe he's just willing to listen to what somebody's got in mind. Teams that are paying attention and they know where the Giants are sitting, kind of half in, half out, they may be calling and say, hey, would you move Snell? And the answer would be, well, tell me what's your interest level? What are you thinking? Or maybe you know right away the team doesn't have what you're going to need to make that move. And so you say, you know what, I might, but I don't know that you you could entice me to do it.
Wow. Good stuff, Ned. Hey, before you go, I know you've been in baseball for a very long time, but you're currently a scout for the Sharks. Those of us here in the Bay Area, of course, very fired up about Macklin Celebrini. What can you tell us about the newest Shark?
Oh, goodness. This team is turning the corner. He is a great young person. He is a difference maker almost immediately. He's 18 years old. There's still some physical growth to him, but he can flat out play. And he's been a champion throughout his career as an amateur. Played well for BU last year. We are so excited to have him and some of the other players that our scouts have found worldwide. I mean, it's starting to turn. And last year's draft with Will Smith, another great young player that's going to change the dynamics of the club. William Eklund from a couple of years before that, same thing. So the team is getting younger. We've added some good veterans to it. Tyler Toffoli, who I've known for a long time from his L.A. days. And you know, we see each other all the time in the South Bay down there. So it's getting better. It takes time. The NHL is different than Major League Baseball. The NHL's got that hard cap. It's not a high cap. It's not like the NBA has or the NFL. So when you go for it and you go all in, which the organization did for a long time with probably 20 great years, no cups, but 20 great years of having a chance, you trade off picks. You trade off prospects sometimes to add to what you have. And when you do that, and you see it in hockey all the time, teams go through that cycle. The Chicago Blackhawks won 3 out of 5, okay? And then they struggled mightily for the last few years, had the number one pick a year ago. You know, Tampa is trying to straddle that line right now. The LA Kings went through it. So it's part of the cycle of the sport, but this organization is definitely on the upswing. It's going to be an exciting team. It's going to be a young team. And I can't wait for that season to get going and to get to camp. Because it's going to be exciting watching him. He is a true difference maker, outstanding person, ties to the Bay Area, and he's a great, great player. He's a difference-making franchise-type player.
Wow, great to hear. We're getting excited about the Sharks season as well. Should be a ton of fun. Hey, Ned, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you later.
Always good, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Ned. He's the best.
That was awesome. Good work, FP. Something that he said there towards the end, talking about what it looks like. You asked, take us behind the scenes. How does this look, the day of the deadline? He says, quote, bluffing goes away with an hour to go. With an hour to go, you get 60 minutes up on that clock. You only have 60 minutes to make a move. Everyone gets down to business finally after, you're BSing each other for the weeks leading up to the deadline, I'm sure, and then it all gets real with 60 minutes left.
That's why I said earlier you need a stone-cold killer to make the move. Like, you can have all the information and all the data. You could have done all your homework. You got your guys in the room. But to actually pull the trigger with an hour left or 30 minutes left on a big deal that could alter the course of your franchise over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Maybe beyond that. I mean, if it's a really good or really bad, you could change the direction of a franchise.
You got to be a badass dude to pull that trigger, man. I'm telling you.
And I just wonder about Farhan Zaidi, because most of the trades he's made are these, like, bottom of the roster, micro style deals, but you're at this deadline. You're 3.5 back. Yeah. You've got Blake Snell. You've got a monster piece. I mean, this would be the time when you need to have somebody make a big, bold move. If you're going to make a move involving Snell or Doval, Conforto or Chapman, these could be big franchise-altering moves, and it hasn't really been his MO so far here with the Giants.
Yeah, I agree.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, nope. And we got some text coming in here on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Very complimentary of Ned, and I think, you know, just reading between the lines there, not the biggest belief from Giants fans in Farhan, who's currently calling the shots for the Giants. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. It's FP, Grandy, and Dibs in for Mark Willard today here on 95.7 The Game. Time for a break, but when we come back, we'll get into a whole lot more relating to the Giants and the trade deadline. And remember, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, make sure to check out Mark Schlereth's conversation on Steiny and Guru earlier today. He had some fiery thoughts about Brandon Ayuk and his hold in down in Santa Clara. We can get into that a little later on during the show as well. But Willard and Dibs, FP and Grandy and Dibs, more coming up on the other side here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Willard and Dibs continues, but no Mark Willard this week. It's Dan Dibley, FP Santangelo, and Mark Randy with you on Willard and Dibs until 6 o'clock today as we inch closer to the trade deadline. Now about 23 and a half hours away from the trade deadline. We'll be live on the air tomorrow when the deadline goes down. So all the news that happens, keep it locked here on 95.7 The Game. Whether you're in your car, listening on your radio, on the Odyssey app, you can also watch us live on Twitch and YouTube. twitch.tv/957thegame and youtube.com/957thegame. Subscribe to the channel for all of our content and make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show. We appreciate it. Everything we do there is powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You can also go back through the Odyssey app, the rewind feature. You can go backwards in our YouTube live stream, tab over to our videos page on YouTube, and you can check out a conversation we just had with former Giants assistant GM and former Dodgers GM Ned Colletti, a friend of FP's, who is, you know, bringing back the curtain. What is it like as a GM, a person in the front office making all these decisions on deadline day and the days leading up to deadline day? What is Farhan going through right now? The Giants, 2 games under .500, 3.5 out of a wild card spot. He was going through GM math. You're not really 3.5 out. Maybe you're more like 7, 8, or 9 games out because you got so many teams you got to jump. He's telling us that bluffing goes away with an hour to go. And I mean, I think we all came away with the same thing, and so many people on our Xfinity mobile text line texting in the same thing. You got to be a bad dude to pull off a big move that helps your team at the trade deadline. And I think there's a lot of Giants fans out there who just simply don't have the confidence that Farhan is the right guy to do that. And I don't know if you can blame them, considering what the trade deadline has been for the Giants during Farhan Zaidi's tenure. You got Chris Bryant, and that helped you win the division in 2021. But beyond that, you haven't really done anything. And I think for that reason, whether the Giants want to go into this guys as buyers or sellers, or if it's somewhere down the middle, I think there's a lot of Giants fans who just feel like whatever the move is, it's not going to be enough, and it's not going to be worth it because it's him making the decision.
I get that, and I also think that it's important that we don't look at it in terms of buying and selling, because really all you're trying to do is improve your roster, and you're trying to acquire assets.
You're learning. Give you an A-plus for that.
It's funny because by the time you're gone, and then Randy and I all week,
buy or sell.
Willard next week, I'm going to be spitting all the Santangelo rhetoric that he missed because he's in Hawaii, and I doubt that he's streaming the show. I saw a picture that he posted. He's at the beach.
Earbuds in, listening to Willard totally, and Dave live on the beach.
Yeah,
he's got issues if he is.
No doubt. But I don't know if you look at what's available. Like, we don't even know what teams are going to part with. But when I look at the standings and I see of the 30 teams in baseball, literally 22 of them fancy themselves as in the race. So now you're looking at 8 teams that might be looking to part with assets. And so the competition for those assets would be very high. It'd be tremendous. So the more I look at the Giants and what they might look to do to improve their roster, most of the improvements, I think, are already within. I don't know if there is a golden ticket out there or a player that they potentially could get, a player who might spring free from one of those 8 teams that could actually appreciably make them better.
Why don't I go devil's advocate real quick?
Go ahead.
And I did say this earlier, so if you're just joining us, repeat myself, that if you make a move to appease the fan base, as any president of baseball operations right now, it's the worst thing you could possibly do. But what if you're feeling the heat for your job a little bit and you're hearing the outside noise and
that
you
seems
feel,
realistic
you
for the
feel
situation.
The pressure to pull off a big thing. You feel like you want to. And if like Ned said, if you just can't hang up the phone on a deal, what if, for whatever reason, and I hear the noise and I hear the fans, he shocks us all with a deal that you're just like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Like what? He gets Luis Robert in here.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. It's just one that we all go, wow, we did not see that coming. We did not think he had that in him based on what you just said, track record, which I think is fair. It's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Chris Bryant, 2021. Last year was just A.J. Pollock. 2019, his first deadline. They sold a couple of pieces. Haven't really done much around the margins.
So you're feeling the heat. You're not going to do it to appease the fan base. But maybe you're thinking, if we don't do something in October, I'm gone. And you're looking at it realistically that I got to pull something off here. And maybe at the last second, last hour, you're pulling the trigger on something you might not have before, just because,
as Ned told us, the bluffing goes away in the last hour. Oh, he stops bluffing, and he finally is willing to part with so-and-so prospect that he never brought up in the hours of phone calls they had earlier.
And then all of a sudden, they have, based on the schedule, the next 12 games, they make a run, they leapfrog a few teams, they're playing in October. Would that appease Giants fans? Just to get to the playoffs.
Well, what if it costs them Bryce Eldridge and Carson Wisenhunt to get Vladdy in here?
I don't know.
And then 5 years from now, Bryce Eldridge is an MVP for the Blue Jays.
Well, yeah. That's unfortunate.
That's
But it's the risk you run when you're trying to do these kind of things.
I want parades, man. I don't care about prospects until they get here and I can watch them play at Oracle Park. I really don't. I mean, I'll watch video on X or Twitter, whatever we call it now, of Eldridge and go, wow, that's a good swing. Or I'll watch Wisenhunt's changeup and go, okay, that's good. But until they're here, until they're helping the Giants win games, great. Just stockpile your minor league with prospects all you want. But until that translates into a championship or a division, I don't care.
Well, the guy about to take the bump, in fact, he's summiting the mound as we speak right now in Philadelphia, ready to take on the Yankees, Zach Wheeler. He was a deadline day deal for the Giants.
For rental.
Yeah, maybe it was the day before the deadline, right around the deadline, whenever it was, 2011, the year after the Giants won their first World Series. They got Carlos Beltran. for a couple of months. He was decent as a Giant, but they missed the playoffs. And now Zach Wheeler is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he's been that way for years now. And again, you only had Beltran for a couple of months. That's the risk you run.
It is the risk. And, you know, I think that you look at this team, and FP was talking about the seat. How hot is the seat for Farhan Zaidi? And would just making the playoffs change that? If you found your way into the third wild card and that was it, you lost in the wild card series and you didn't advance, would that make his seat less hot? I don't know. That's an internal conversation that I'm not privy to, but I look at what he did, what he was expected to do between last year and this year, and I think he mainly went out there and did it. They got a long-term deal with Jung-Hoo Lee, and he looks like he's going to be a good player when he gets healthy. You needed a slugger. You got Soler, and he hasn't been as good as you'd hoped, but you've got Matt Chapman. Your defense was improved. You brought in starting pitching, and the fans are showing up more often to Oracle Park. So I do think that, for the most part, Farhan Zaidi did what was asked of him. He's got two more years under contract. I don't personally think, and again, this is me on the outside looking in, I don't look at his seat as, okay, you better do something between now and tomorrow at 3 o'clock, or your job's in jeopardy.
I think if you're the Giants and you're Farhan and you are thinking about maybe trying to save your job, save your life as the Giants president of baseball operations, and you're maybe a little more eager or encouraged to go out there and try to make a move because you know what's waiting for you if you don't. And if you miss the playoffs, then you try to go out there and take a big swing. I think the worst thing that could happen, and maybe the quickest way for Farhan to catch the boot, is if he goes out and makes a move for a rental, gives away high prospects, and it doesn't work out and you miss the playoffs anyway, and suddenly now your cupboard is a little more bare than it already is, and you're not, you know, experiencing postseason baseball anyway. So if there is a big move for the Giants to make to add to the roster, not talking about trading current major leaguers away, trading Blake Snell away, trading Chapman away, trading, you could do a little bit more on the margins, I suppose, with Conforto or Yaz or something like that, but not talking about Snell and Chapman right now. If you're trying to go out and bring someone else in, it would have to be for me to even be comfortable with it, and maybe it's because I'm in a position where I don't feel like this team has what it takes to go out and make a run deep into October. It has to be for someone that at the very least is under team control for next year, too. You have to have them beyond this coming season. If Farhan and the Giants go out and go and acquire a rental, and even if it works out and you make the playoffs, but you fall short of winning a championship, that's dangerous, in my opinion. It's got to be someone going out like Vladdy, who's under team control for another year. Luis Robert with the Chicago White Sox, who has three more years of team control. Bo Bichette is also a name from the Blue Jays, one more year under contract. I don't think the A's will ever trade with you, but Brent Rooker, who's got three more years of team control. He's a power hitter, not much of an outfielder, but he could DH for you, although you've already got Soler there, so maybe that's not a fit. But my point, guys, is if there is a little bit of pressure, as you were talking about, on Farhan to maybe make that big move, kind of similar to a Chris Bryant move from 2021, to make that big move to maybe try to save yourself, it's got to be positioned for more than just 2024. And maybe that's where what's best for the organization versus what's best for Farhan are kind of in conflict, because maybe at this point all Farhan cares about is 2024.
You know what's more important than anything we've talked about today?
What?
Regardless of what happens at the trade deadline, is that that ball club plays good baseball for the next 2 months. If with the roster as it's assembled, say nothing changes, if they play good baseball for the next 2 months, catch the ball, throw strikes, run the bases aggressively, intelligently, no stupid balls drop in the outfield, no weird stuff that we've seen all year. If they play fundamentally sound baseball, and I don't know if you flip a switch and can do that at this point, but they did against the Rockies. For the next 2 months, they'll make the playoffs, regardless of their makeup. Here's my theory in baseball. If you give me a bunch of guys that play the game right, and they control what they can control every night, which is going out there and having a good attitude and playing hard, and they do that on a nightly basis, you're going to win more games than you lose. Right now, the Mets are in it. They're 55-50, five games over 500. They're the third wild card. If the Giants play good baseball for 2 months, like they played the last 4 days, they will be over 500, and they will be in the mix for the playoffs. Now, if you have a team with horses like the Yankees and the Phillies, and you play good baseball. You can be 20 games over. You can be 25 games over because you got the pieces and you're playing good baseball. It's not about going out on a nightly basis and trying to win a baseball game. It's going out on a nightly basis and playing good freaking baseball, like fundamentally sound baseball. Don't do stupid stuff. Make all the plays. Turn the double plays. Catch the fly balls. Keep the double play in order. Go first to third. Tag up on a fly ball. Pick up every runner from third less than two outs. Throw strikes. Don't walk people. Don't hit people. Just play good baseball for 2 months. Whatever, however many games are left, and they'll be in the right spot. So is there an urgency to make a big move for me? I don't think so. I think Judge just went deep, by the way.
Yeah, really deep. Off-wheeler, they didn't trade him soon enough.
Yeah, you can have Zach.
Good trade, Sabian.
Yeah, good trade. No, but do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I think it's fun to talk about, and the trade deadline is fun. Like Ned said, Ned Colletti joined us, and he said that like he misses this part.
So it's best time of the year.
It's fun for us. It's not fun for the players. It's not fun for the front office right now here. It's not fun for the coaches. But I think just to simplify everything, if this team plays good baseball, they'll be right there at the end of September.
Should be. And that, honestly, and that's something that Ned said as well, when you get to August 1st and you're able to exhale and breathe deep and you're still on the team and wherever you are, okay, you got 54 more games, one-third of the year. You've got 162 of them. That breaks into 54, 54, and 54. So now you've got one-third of the year still left to go. And you don't have to think about, well, if we go 30 and 24, we have a chance. Or like you're saying, FP, just play baseball. Play better baseball. And I think the last four games should give them a little bit of a shot in the arm because you pitched it well. For the most part, you fielded it well, and you ran well on the bases, and you know you didn't hit it great, but that's okay. You didn't have to because your pitching is at a point where you really only need four runs. And I ran the numbers last week about when you score four runs, what your record is versus when you only score three. I think they were 9-28 when they score three or fewer runs. So just get to four, and with this pitching staff, you might be able to win with three a lot of times. As long as you don't make those sloppy mistakes, you know, fly balls dropping in the outfield, the shortstop who can't field, and, you know, you're throwing the ball all over the place and you're not running, you're not holding runners, all those things we've seen all year.
Holding runners.
Yeah.
Like, attention to detail. Play the game the right way. Focus. Like, play fundamentally sound baseball. To me, and what do I know? I could be way off here, and people are like, what is he talking about? It's far more important than what happens tomorrow. It'll be fun for us to talk about if something big happens. We'll get excited if something big happens. We'll be pissed if nothing happens. But I don't think I'll be pissed if nothing happens in the sense that this roster was constructed, and it is on the players. It's on them to play better. Like, this isn't, I don't know, rocket science. Just go out and play better. And I think when you start with four games against a bad team and they won and they did what they're supposed to do, that now you relax a little bit. And relaxation and confidence are huge. We don't talk about it. It's all launch angle, exit velocity, spin rate, OPS. Like, it's about relaxation and confidence. And if these guys can have confidence and swagger and get to and play to their ability where they're not trying to get seven hits every night, they're not trying to win three games every night, they're just going out playing good baseball, This thing could have, might have, possibly have turned around in the last 4 days. I don't know if that's the case, but I've seen it happen before.
You make it sound so simple.
It is.
When you say it, it makes it like, all right, yeah, they could do it. They could 54 games left. I mean, you break down the numbers.
It's not that hard.
The Mets right now, 55-50, winning percentage of 524.524. They're the third and last wild card spot right now. So let's just consider that the benchmark, what you need to get to be a postseason team, to get the third wild card team. That would extrapolate it out to 162 games, mean you go 85-77. For the Giants to get to 85-77, they got to go 32-22 over their final 54. Doable. But at a certain point, you're talking about doing the simple things and playing the game the right way and not booting the ball around and holding runners on and maybe stealing a couple of bases yourself and making smart decisions and just playing the simple game the right way. You make it seem pretty easy, but we have 108 games of sample size where they haven't done it on right. A consistent basis. And right. At a certain point, you get to be like you're Sisyphus rolling the boulder up the hill. And you're just doing the same thing over and over and only for it to just fall all the way back down. Let's begin rolling it back up again. It's going to roll right back down again. And I get everything that you're saying. And maybe it was just a case of injuries, and now you get the pitching staff back. You pair that with a four-game win streak, and suddenly you're feeling good, and it just switches immediately. But if I'm using the last 108 games as the judge, it seems a little bit foolish to just think they're immediately going to turn it around and that things are going to be great for the final 54 games.
It doesn't have to just completely turn around, but you look at what you have now that you didn't have most of the year, and you've got a rotation. You've got five good pitchers, maybe six if Cobb comes back. So that allows your bullpen that's been used more than any of the bullpen in baseball. You would hope that you can start to maximize the bullpen, and you got Jordan Hicks going down there, and that's a good arm to have in your bullpen. So you think that that at least on the surface should be better than it's been all year.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling great. Why? Yeah.
He's so positive today.
I'm always positive.
I know. So I like it. Yeah. I like the takes.
Well, I just, you know, you look at it.
Pitching's everything. That's how we had three parades right on the street we're looking at here.
Right. And I think you look at the hitting, and if you don't add anybody, then your lineup is going to be basically what it is, right? You've got Tyler Fitzgerald, who is unbelievable. And other than that, you don't have a lot of real consistent hitters. You've got, you know, Ramos has been really good since he's been back, and the rest of your team, pretty up and down. Lamont Wade's been solid when he's been healthy. He gets on base, but you're not going to all of a sudden be a team that scores 8 runs a game. So if you are looking to go on a run, and Mark's right, 32 and 22 would get you to 85, and 85, I think, gets it done for the third wild card. Well, how do you go about doing that? It's going to have to be your pitching.
Just go 1-0 every day, man.
Win 1-0. Yeah, just don't give up a run.
Just win a game.
Oh, yeah, 1-0, of course.
We could look at it like 32 and 22, but players don't look at it that way. Coaches don't look at it that way. Maybe front offices do, but you're just trying to win one game. And then you come back to the ballpark tomorrow and you try to win one game.
Yeah.
I have the World Series ring that their motto was go 1-0 today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's engraved in the inside of the ring. I'll bring it and show it to you guys. I had nothing to do with it. I think I had a pretty good year talking. I talked well that year.
With the Nationals?
I got a ring, yeah.
Nice.
And I still have the Giants one for talking well that year. I never had one as a player, but like I live by that. But you can live by that motto. It doesn't have to be sports. Go 1-0. Like, win the day.
Win the day.
Just win the day. Mm-hmm. And, like, simplify it. If you're like, oh, I got to have all this stuff done by Friday or by next month, I want to be here, here, and here. Maybe that works for some people. I'm just all about being in the moment and trying to win the day.
I get it, but 108 games. They're 53 and 55. They're 3.5 back of a walk-off. Like, I can easily see both sides. I really can.
They didn't have Robbie Ray for 108 games. They didn't have Blake Snell that's pitching right now for 108 games. They didn't have Tyler Fitzgerald, who solidified a position that was a huge question mark for 108 games. So, like, things are looking a little bit better. Am I saying they're going to beat the Phillies or the Yankees in the World Series? I don't know. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, after four games, oh, it's against the Rockies. I hear everybody out there. But it's got to start somewhere, and it doesn't matter where it starts.
You're 10-3 versus the Rockies. You're 43-52 against everybody else.
Yeah, this team's been maddening. Like, I'm not going to deny there's times when I'm just sitting at home or I'm in the booth calling, that I'm just like, what is going on? This can't happen. Like, the other day, I lost it on air with Camilo Duvall. The tying run was on first, and he took off like 5 seconds before he threw it. And I'm like, you have to pay attention to the tying run on first.
And that's happened
you
all year.
To. And I couldn't help it.
So
it
why is it
going to
change now?
Well, it doesn't have to change now, but
I'm not saying it is.
You know,
I'm
just go 1-0 tomorrow.
It's going 1-0.
You got the
tomorrow.
A's, and
you guys can hit. By the way, that team can hit.
Lawrence Butler,
they can hit.
I mean, you've got a series of winnable opponents, beatable opponents coming up. The easiest schedule post All-Star break is yours. So just go out there and go 1-0 on Wednesday, on Tuesday.
You got Robbie Ray going on Tuesday. You're going to get Alex Cobb back at some point, probably this weekend series against the Cincinnati Reds. I think one thing that is interesting that we haven't gotten into yet, and we got a couple minutes left here in this segment, and Mark, I see you on hold. We'll get to you in a sec. The Giants are at a point where you're going to have to be a little bit maybe creative with your pitching staff. I don't know how you guys would feel about Hayden Birdsong and the rest of his regular season, because he has done nothing but impress everybody while being up here. Even with Hicks going back to the bullpen, you include Alex Cobb who's coming back, you include Hayden Birdsong. You got six starters, six starting pitchers. Maybe the presence and, you know, Hayden Birdsong exploding onto the scene, maybe that encourages you to sell one of your pitchers at the deadline. Maybe that's a factor here that we're not really considering, whether or not you want to get rid of one guy or try to get a prospect haul for one of these players or not. Who knows? But maybe Hayden Birdsong's emergence wasn't something you were counting on, and that could be a reason why you're a little more open to trading away a starting pitcher, because you know that you got Birdsong, who's been nothing but awesome in his handful of starts.
Well, one of the most frustrating things for me that I've seen over the past 2 or 3 years as a fan is players not getting rewarded for performance. And to see a guy like Hayden Birdsong strike out 12, and I know you need a roster spot against the Dodgers, I understand that all, but there's something to be said for sitting on the top step at Dodger Stadium watching a series as a 22-year-old kid.
And just knowing that you're here to stay.
And just walking around with your like a peacock for 4 days at Dodger Stadium after you struck out 12 at Coors Field. There's something to be said with Spencer Bivens pitching some of the most important games of the year for the Giants, dealing, and he's well-liked in the clubhouse, like Dave Fleming said on your air, like to be a part of the team. And so I know that there's roster moves, and I know you're trying to manipulate things to make your team better, but there's human beings inside those uniforms, and I would love to see guys that perform be rewarded on a more regular basis.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Very well said. And I'll be interested how the Hayden Birdsong question is answered for the Giants moving forward. I think he was officially sent back down to single A after the doubleheader because just the way the rules work, you needed to clear up that 27th, the extra man after that doubleheader. I would imagine he's going to be back at some point again. But where does it go once Alex Cobb is back in this rotation? Hayden Birdsong, he's certainly pitching good enough to stay. 888-957-9570. Mark, I see you on hold. We're coming to you on the other side. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibs, FP and Grandy in for Willard alongside Dibs as always. We continue next here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.